This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We got game three of the Mariners series with the Oakland A's coming up tonight. Bryce Miller on the hill. We'll turn you over to the pregame show coming up at 5:30. Meanwhile, we got Ryan Roland Smith in today and tomorrow for Dave Wyman. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. Had a fun conversation with your buddy Grant Balfour. People really enjoyed. I think they just like hearing two guys with Aussie accents going back and forth. I think they get a kick out of that. And somebody sent in a text, and you guys can text 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company, whenever you want. But somebody said, Bob's your uncle. What a great segment, LOL. Ryan will understand. And you responded, yeah. Yes. What does that mean?
Okay, so Bob's your uncle. Basically, again, Aussie slang, and I might have to bring this up to Grant because it's so common. Like, Bob's your uncle. Like, how do I – see, some of this stuff, it's so ingrained with me. I don't quite know how to translate it, which is quite sad. But it basically means, like, well, there it is. And like, you know, hey, and Bob's your uncle, the car was fixed, if that makes sense. Like,
what? I'm like, completely lost. I don't
like, and there it is. Like, hey, look, I've just looked up. Bob's your uncle is a phrase commonly used in the UK and the Commonwealth countries, or Australia, commonly. And there it is. And there you have it. Like, and there you have it. And there you have it.
So it's just like a closer. And Bob's your uncle.
That's exactly. It's like confirmed. That's what it is. There you have it. That's how it's happening. Yes, exactly. Bob's your uncle.
I've never.
See, I struggle to explain some of this stuff because it's just so ingrained. You know. You know when you.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. The 253 says you seriously never heard of the phrase Bob's your uncle. No, I've never heard that.
No.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, I don't know if I knew what it meant.
You've heard it before?
It. Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I thought they were talking about me. I thought they were saying something I said, or I had no idea what the hell they're talking about.
I've dropped that over here before, and people are like, what are you talking about? It's a weird one. It is a weird one, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that at all, so yeah, that's interesting. Okay, all right. By the way, the lineups are out, and good news, Caballero back at second base. There was a little mini panic yesterday, right? We were singing the praises of Jose Caballero, and he had back-to-back games with a home run, and we were playing sound bites from Scott Service after the game talking about, you know, he had a great at bat, didn't result in a hit, but he was just beating the pitcher up. 12 pitches, fouling off balls, just, you know, really nice battle up there. And then that very day, we're singing all of his praises. Colton Wong's in the lineup. We're going, what the hell's happening here? What's going on? So I guess he just needed a day off, but he's back in there, and goes Crawford. Rodriguez is hitting second. They've got Suarez hitting third with Kelnick. So obviously Ty is not in the lineup. So it goes Crawford, Rodriguez, Gino, Kelnick, Raleigh, Hernandez, Caballero, Pollock, and Haggerty at first base.
It's interesting that the Julio kind of, I'm not going to call it experiment, but trying to figure out the lineup. Now, obviously, I know Ty France pushes him up into that two hole. I still like him. I still like him as a leadoff hitter. But you know what? You got to fill that gap. I'm kind of, it's interesting right now. Ty France is still day to day. I would think they'd go ahead and put him right there on the IL. I guess it maybe depends on when Dylan Moore's coming back,
yeah,
potentially. But I don't mess with that, man. We talked about it earlier with Ty France. Don't mess with the chance for him to say, you know, hey, I'm good. My wrist feels okay to hit because he crushed a few in the cage and he wants to go back out and play. We've seen this before the last couple of years where all of a sudden the production takes a nosedive. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I kind of want to see him just have a breather for at least 10 days, right?
Yeah.
Get that hand right.
Yeah, unless it's not bad, unless it just looked worse and felt worse in the moment. I mean, certainly you want to err on the side of caution. Last thing we want, Ryan, is him trying to battle through another, especially in the wrist. You're talking about his swing, and you're just talking about, you know, the mechanics and what he already went through with the other injury, and he told us that he was trying to, you know, manipulate his mechanics to where it wouldn't hurt when he would swing, and the results weren't what they needed to be. So, I don't know. Yeah, just get him right. Just have, even if it takes 10 games, then let it be 10 games. As much as the offense needs him, you don't need a diminished version of him. You don't need a version of him up there where he's not doing Ty France things. So yeah, if that's what it takes, sit him out.
And the other part of this is too, you know, look, I know we've talked about this before, but Mike Ford, give him a crack. Get him up here. See what he's all about.
Yeah.
And I know you can make the argument, look, we've seen this before, but he looks different. He's talked about he's made some big adjustments this year. He just looks different, man, with some of the swings he's taken in AAA. I was watching a couple of videos. And let it play out. See how it goes. I mean, there's no harm in that whatsoever with Mike Ford. See what he's all about, especially with Ty Fred. But again, look, you mentioned it. It may not be as bad as it looks. It just looked way worse than anything that happened the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And he stuck around. So, anyway.
Yeah. Pulled him out. I mean, he went to first base, and then they replaced him with Haggerty out there.
Yeah.
So, he didn't stick around for long after that. But, and you kind of talked me into Ford, because I had people, you know, on Twitter and call up Mike Ford. He's hitting .300, whatever. I didn't even look at his recent stats, but he's killing it at AAA. And I'm like, yeah, but we've seen him before up here. You know, we saw him mash at the minor league level, much like Vogelback used to do, and then come up here and hit below .200. I mean, it's just some guys are kind of those 4A. They're in between AAA and the big leagues. And we had seen it with him. I remember people complaining when he'd be up at the plate before. So, but you kind of talked me into it, like, what? Hey, he looks different, and also, why not? Because he's not taking the place of somebody who's killing it by any stretch. So, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to take a look. But what do they do when Dylan Moore is healthy? Because you've got an interesting situation where it feels like the obvious choice is to send Haggerty down. He still has options, but you've got Colton Wong sitting here, and I don't. What role is he playing other than, all right, you know, your second baseman needs a day off, so we're going to put Colton out there. Outside of that, what do you get? I understand you're paying him, but for what? What's he bringing?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, and I guarantee you, from Dylan Moore's perspective, when you see a guy like Caballero just tearing it up, and you're out on the IL, you're like, oh man, where do I fit in here? Not saying he's worried about he's threatened from his job security, but even watching him get a chance to play second base every single day, he's like, oh man, because all these guys, regardless of where how much they're getting paid or what their role is or what they embrace, they all want to be everyday players, 100%. You want to be in the lineup every single day, and you want to get any opportunity to do it. And so just back to the situation with Colton Wong, I mean, you know, you look at his deal too and talk about paying him. Right now, he's making $10 million this year. That's a lot of money.
Are the Brewers picking up part of that, or did the Mariners take all of that?
That's a good question. That's a good question. As soon as I said that, I was like, hold on a minute.
The what, his contract this year?
Yeah, did the Brewers pick up part of that?
They picked up 1.75. So the it was $10 million this year.
Oh, really?
So the Mariners are paying Wong like over
8.25.
Yeah, that's significant. And the other part of this is, too, with Colton Wong. I mean, last night, giving him a chance to play, you know, against the matchup maybe he can handle. And he's, you know, stung a couple of balls. You want to see him have some productivity. He just looks lost. He looks out of place out there. He does. Yeah. And it's a situation, they're in a situation right now where, first of all, you can't give up on depth. I mean, if you make a move where all of a sudden you DFA someone like that, well, then you're going to lose him. He's not going to stick around because he's getting paid. He's going to be like, you know, I'm going to go elsewhere here. This didn't work out. Then you lose a little bit of that depth. And let's say, you know, Caballero goes down. You lose that as well to an injury. So it's going to be interesting. All of this stuff tends to play itself out, I think. And we're seeing that even with Ty France, that essentially – you may have that luxury to put him on the IL for a second here until he gets right when Dylan Moore is ready to come back too. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Jeff Passan talking about this situation, you know, what do you do? And again, feels like the obvious is to you'd send Haggerty down. Now we'll see what happens with Ty. Maybe you're going to need Haggerty up. Dylan Moore, you're assuming, is going to be back probably within the week, it sounds like. What happens with Wong? Here's Jeff Passan weighing in on that.
I think I probably option Haggerty at this point, just because it's what happens if there's an injury. Don't you want more guys in the organization? You don't have to play Colton Wong necessarily, but I would rather, if I'm the organization right now, and if Sam Haggerty were hitting, it would be a different story. Sam Haggerty's been bad this year.
He's been bad this year. Yeah, I mean, he was dealing with injury to start the year. He had that surgery and everything. So, you know, Haggerty's not what he was last year, which was kind of a spark for this team last year. But you see, he's out there playing first base. He's a guy who can steal bases. He's versatile. I'm not making the case that he's a superstar by any stretch, but he does have the versatility they like. I just think it's, but he does have options that Colton Wong doesn't. So, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like you've kind of painted yourself into a corner with what you're paying Colton Wong. You're paying him right now to sit on the bench and just be an insurance policy in case somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, and I agree with Passan. It's the depth piece to this. Good problem to have, but you cannot just start getting kind of brash with it in regards to how you start, you know, feeling about guys. Well, he's not playing DFA. See ya. You know, that's the business aspect of this is no. You have to have a Sam Haggerty available later on in the year because you need the depth. Because you need to keep bolstering what you have underneath it. Let's not forget, too, you mentioned the speed part of Sam Haggerty. Now, Dylan Moore comes up. You've got a guy who can play in the outfield. He played plenty of left field.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. You also have AJ Pollock. And the other thing is, too, Caballero can still run as well. If it's a situation where you've got to steal bags, there is that in regards to sprint speed as well. You know, they're pretty similar. I haven't looked at the numbers just yet. But Caballero can run as well. Steal some bags. We saw him do that. He's aggressive, and he's a good base runner as well.
I'm looking at the text. They got this all wrong, first of all. They said Henry Ford is not ready for the major leagues. The last time we rushed someone to the major leagues before they were ready, it was Jared Kelnick, and it took 2 years to get him right. Well, you're thinking of Harry Ford, and we were talking about Mike Ford. So there is no Henry Ford in the organization that I'm aware of, although a great maker of cars back in the day.
Yeah, so I was just about to say, I was like, hold on a minute. Is this a great-great-great-great-grandson or something that's just tearing it up in AAA?
I think they're thinking of Harry Ford, but that's funny. That's funny. But, and there's...
Bring Harry Ford up.
But here's one that I've touched on before, and this is... the 206 says, with all due respect, why are we overly concerned about Dylan Moore? Decent utility player, but not a game changer. I agree with that. I agree. Moore on this team. I like that he's versatile and you feel good about him defensively, where if you put him at second, if you put him in left field, you feel like, hey, he's not going to kill us in these spots. But when we were talking about the offense earlier in the season, we would get a lot of tag. Well, wait till Dylan Moore gets back. Wait till Dylan Moore gets back. And I'm like, when did he become a superhero with a bat? Because that's not his game. He's not a producer. He's had moments, certainly. He's had really big moments in years that he struggled, but he's not. You look at his history, it's not his game. He's not coming to the rescue wearing a cape. You know, it's just not him.
I know, and it's interesting. Like, when he went down with an injury, everyone's like, oh, man, they just lost Dylan Moore. I'm like, well, and again, dude, like, he's a serviceable player, but There's a lot of holes there, too. Some things he did last year or didn't do last year, which were really to a detriment with the Mariners. You know what I mean? There was some moments there. But, again, I'm not sitting here. Listen, I'm not sitting here going, well, yeah, wait till Dylan Moore comes back at all. But you hamstring yourself a little bit when Colton Wong struggles. And then you got Caballero, who's now all of a sudden your everyday second baseman, essentially, close to, pretty much. And then now Ty France goes down. So you have to, and someone else brought up, you know, AJ Pollock on the text line too. Again, it comes down to depth. I hate to say it. It's annoying to hear. It comes down to how many players do you have in AAA that can fill gaps. That's what it comes down to right now, especially in the month of May. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, there's some it's security. You're paying for security. You're paying for if somebody goes down, we know we can plug this guy in. And hopefully the problem with Wong is not even so much as hitting, which has been brutal. It's just that he's cost you in the field, too. And that's, you know, if a guy's going to go up there and struggle at the plate, okay, you can't have it on both there. You can't have it on offense and defense. And that's been he had a bad year defensively last year. He had 17 errors. And I always bring this up. We talked to a Brewers beat writer before the season after that deal was made. And, hey, tell us about Colton Wong and his season. And they're like, yeah, it was a down year defensively, had 17 errors. And, frankly, it should have been more. They said he got some favorable hometown scoring, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And we talked to Colton about it, and he blamed it on the shift. He said, you know, with the shift where he was set up as a second baseman, he didn't pick the ball up very well. It just, you know, the angle of the ball coming off the bat being in kind of a short right field. And I'm like, okay, that I guess I get that, but the shift wasn't new last year. It's been around. So to blame last year on the shift didn't make a ton of sense to me.
Well, yeah, if that's a comment you're going to make and publicly say that, man, you better ball out when you're talking about playing straight up with no shift.
I mean,
you better be just over the top, because every second baseman, shortstop, third baseman, first baseman have all dealt with a shift.
Yeah.
And they've all, and now they've all dealt with the fact that you don't have the shift anymore. So, yeah, interesting. Look, I wish him all the best. I hope he gets back to being good and being a guy who can play everything else. But I hate to be boring here, man, but you just cannot just start giving up on players unless it's absolutely crucial where you have a bottleneck with two players in the same spot.
Yeah.
You have to make that hard decision.
No, that makes sense. And you said somebody brought up A.J. Pollock, and he's a guy that I got into a debate with some people on Twitter or the text, I can't remember, but they're like, you know, I was looking at his numbers last year going, he's a guy, he's 35, they're just, you know, this is duct tape to me. And they're like, oh, you don't get it, he mashes lefties, they're bringing him in to kill lefties. And I'm looking at his splits this year, Ryan. He's had almost equal number of at-bats lefty-righty. He's facing right-handers. He's had 42 at-bats against lefties. He's had 39. He's 3-for-39 versus lefties. He's hitting .077 with a .159 on base versus lefties. He was brought in here to mash lefties, and he's hitting under 100. So it has not worked out the way that, you know, initially he was going to be the platoon guy with Kelnick in left field. And when there's a lefty on the hill, they'd sit Kelnick and he'd be the guy because that's what he does. He kills lefties. I know it's not a huge sample set, but man, you talk about getting off on the wrong foot for your claim to fame.
Yeah, I mean, and you can blame Jared Kelnick for that too. You look at those splits where he's facing more righties than he is lefties because Jared Kelnick's his role's completely changed. Like you said, he came in, all right, you're going to play against lefties. Kelnick's going to play righties. And Kelnick, who's been the biggest offensive story this year, which is he's, by the way, mashing lefties.
Yeah, better than righties.
And mashing him with two strikes. If you look at some of the numbers he's putting up with two strikes, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, here's
and that tells you there's no, oh, yeah, he's just getting a bunch of hanging sliders. No. He doing it in those kind of counts is insane. But just back to Pollock, it's your role all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks in is like, oh, hey, by the way, you're not going to play against lefties anymore. You're just going to, we're going to put you out there when you need to give one of these other guys a break. And he's like, all right. And here he is just, you know, like you said, he's hitting under 100 to lefties, struggling.
Yeah. So. Looking at the breakdown, the splits for Kelnick, he's had far more at bats versus righties, 126 versus 43 for lefties. But you look at the production, he's had 4 home runs versus lefties, 6 versus righties, 13 runs driven in versus righties, 12 runs driven in versus lefties. Then you look at the average and on base, his average against lefties, .349 with a .378 on base. He's hitting .278 against righties with a .338 on base. Now, again, a lot more opportunity against righties, facing them much, much more, but he's getting the job done against lefties in a very big way when he faces them.
He is slugging .600 when he's got two strikes against lefties. It's insane.
And .721 you know, look, overall versus lefties.
It's insane. Like, and you can, there's a couple of reasons why. You know, look, he's recognizing pitches way better for whatever reason. Maybe there's a little bit of confidence involved in that too. He's hitting the ball up the middle. So he's just, his timing and swing path has changed. He's hitting the ball to the left field as well. He's trusting the fact he can drive a ball out at center field. All these little things add up. But these numbers are ridiculous. Like, this is what, I thought, you know what, if he can handle some lefties, foul off a few pitches, and, you know, have that emergency hack and put the ball in play with two strikes, but this is insane. I'm shocked by this. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
And I talked about this before the year started, Ryan, when they were talking about the platoon with him and Pollock. Because I wasn't excited about the Pollock addition. Nothing personal against him. I'm just looking at a 35-year-old guy who just, I feel like, man, this is not the answer. You guys aren't helping your offense the way you should. But anyway, my hope that I was talking about then is I was like, man, the best would be if Kelnick's just playing so well that they can't take him out of the lineup.
Sure.
The only reason they take him out is because he needs a rest. I didn't know that would happen. I was just saying that is kind of a speaking a wish into existence, and it happened. They can't take him out of the lineup. The only reason he does come out is if he needs a rest. So that's certainly, as you touched on, impacted Pollock's opportunities. And I'm glad. I want all that opportunity to go to Kelnick because he's your future. Pollock is not your future. He's a guy you brought in for this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he won't be here next year. You know, this is about Kelnick. And he's done exactly what I daydreamed about him doing. Didn't expect it. Was dreaming of it.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, remember he used to strike out a bunch?
Yeah.
Last year, with two strikes, this is just against lefties, by the way. So he's slugging .600. Last year, he slugged .091, and he was hitting .061 with two strikes. It's insane. I just, you look at these comparisons, it's wild to look at. Obviously, the slugging 222 last year against lefties, 630. What is it? 700, like you said. But yeah, this is the best scenario, honestly. Think about it. All right, yeah, we bring Pollock in and you make that big move to executive decision to face lefties, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you know what I really want to happen? I want Jared Kelnick to just go off. And he is, man. It's been fun to watch. The Navy SEAL.
I had no expectation. My hope, realistically, was just don't be an out. Don't be that guy when he comes up. You're going, all right, well, inning's over here. You know, because you just gave the numbers. That's kind of where he was at. I just wanted him to be, hey, man, hit 240. Hit 240. Maybe you hit 20 bombs. Maybe you keep playing great defense, and you could live with that. And what he's doing is so fun to watch because – You even though he's only 23 still, you're going, I don't know if he's going to live up to that potential. I don't know if he's going to be the guy people thought. And he's becoming the guy people thought.
Hey, what was the threshold for home runs, your buddy Adam Ray?
He says 40. He said he's going to hit 40 this year. And I said, I don't know. That's a bit optimistic, man. And he said, if he hits 40, I have to let his mom massage my chest.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the.
He's got 10 right now.
He's got 10. So, yeah, his slug's gone down a little bit in the month of May. I'm just looking just to try and.
Try to see if I'm going to lose or not.
Yeah, exactly. 40 home runs. I mean, hey, honestly, if you asked me that 2 weeks ago, even when he was crushing, I would have said no.
Yeah.
That's great and everything. I'm on the fence now, man. There could be 40 home runs.
Oh, boy, this could be awkward. This could be awkward. And if he hits 50, apparently she gets to massage both of us. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Fair enough.
Oh, I love it. All right, that does it for us. Want to thank our guest today. Great guest today, and Greg Warren and Grant Belfour. Chris Flexen, that was audio a little tough if you go back and listen to that. There was a weird connection there. But check it out. It'll all be there on the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, click on that. It'll be right there waiting for you after the show as it is each and every day. And you hear Lefko say, you hear Wyman say it, click subscribe. We're making your life easier. You click that button, you never have to do another thing. That's what technology is supposed to do for you. So there you go. All right, Mariners and A's, Game 3 coming your way next with the pregame show. We're back tomorrow with Ryan. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.